You know, I know that we broadcast across the state with the new network thing. I wonder if we have any listeners out there in the Grand Rapids area that were at LMCU Ballpark in Comstock for Scoobles outing on Sunday. Did anybody in our audience go to that game? And I'd like to know what it was like. Now, you've been to West Michigan Whitecap games, correct?
No, I haven't.
You've never been there. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've been to the Lansing Lugnuts
games. I've been to Lansing. Yeah, I was at Oldsmobile Park back in the day, like the first year it opened up.
Yep. Toledo Mud Hens.
I've been to both stadiums.
Yep. Kang, have you ever been to the minor league stadiums around the state?
No, I have not.
Okay. So I've probably been to three or four Lugnut games. I don't really have a point of reference. But again, if anybody is a regular there, I wonder what it was like on Scoobles night or Scoobles day relative to any other game there. Was it the most wild atmosphere? Was it awesome? Was it way, way, way different? And I'm sure it was different than your average game, but I guess was it the best atmosphere ever for a Whitecaps game? Or, I mean, you know, you get into those communities, whether a championship series or, because, like, it's one thing to go, I went to a Whitecaps game and saw Max Clark play, right? And I'm like, oh, this is cool. But there was another, I'm trying to remember who I went and saw there back in the day. You get these opportunities to see the draftable players, and it's fun that they're close by. Like, I actually am going to a Mud Hens game next month, and it, again, will be a chance to see Max Clark play. But I'm just, you know, I mean, I bet it was cool. I bet it was really cool for anybody up there.
Yeah, it's got to be a treat. I mean, it's one thing to see them play. Those kids get brought up through the system, and you watch them play as a high A player and
right.
matriculate to the major leagues. It's another thing when they got to come back because of a rehab assignment. And you're like, let me see how this guy's grown, right? I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, you're probably watching Tiger baseball anyway. But if you're not, if you haven't seen Tarik Skubal live since he was a – you know, 22-year-old at West Michigan or whatever, that's kind of cool to see how much he's matured and how much better he is.
And the rehabilitation appearance, it doesn't happen in any other sport.
No, I was thinking, does it happen in the NHL? And it really doesn't.
Like, Jared Goff isn't going to make an appearance for...
Well, football, yeah, there's no other football at the time, but... NBA players, I don't think they go to the G League to rehab and play a couple games.
Kang, have you ever hear of that happening?
No.
And to take, like, the best pitcher in the game and not only put him on a field with minor leaguers, just put him in that atmosphere. You know, to put him in the small ballpark, big star. It feels like seeing a band, you know, seeing you too at Rick's.
Well, you're right. I mean, I
warm it up before they get out back on tour. You know what I mean? Hey, I still got it. Yeah. These streets have no names.
I mean, that was a big deal back in the early '80s, right? You two played downstairs at Sensations.
But I'm talking about before, like after they've made it big.
Oh, after the
big. Yeah. This is
like a warm up, dude.
That was Max Clark when you two was at Sensations. That was Max Clark on his way up. We're talking about now, where else does this happen where the big star goes back to the small venue?
Yeah, like DiCaprio does like a high school play before he does his next, you know, Titanic 2 or whatever.
Metallica did something like that years ago when they had their shows, outdoor venue, where they had, they were downtown somewhere, and it was like Metal Fest or something like that. They were going to play in the big stage at mm-hmm. some point, but... Earlier in the day, they decided to play as like a cover band at one of the smaller stages. And it was, people said it was wild to see that. It's kind of similar to that.
But. I did think of one place where this does happen, and we're not really down with the culture, but it does happen in auto racing. Do you remember that tragedy with Tony Stewart on a dirt track where he hit a guy and killed him?
Yeah, vaguely I do.
I mean, that's a NASCAR driver showing up at a dirt track, and that happens in that sport. And it's Tony Stewart, I guess, did it a lot. But I think some other drivers do that. In fact, I feel like my brother-in-law might have just saw somebody big up in Owosso or a bigger name in Owosso. So I guess it does happen in auto racing a little bit here and there. But again, we're not really down with that culture.
I mean, in golf, it happens, but you have to fall off the tour and try to build yourself back up.
Is it Corn Ferry? Is that the Corn Ferry tour?
It is, or whatever it was. I mean, you would have to do that kind of thing, mm-hmm. but it's not the same thing as like, hey, Scottie Scheffler is playing this little event.
Right. 248-539-9797. Anyway, if anybody was there for that Scoobal start in Comstock at LMCU Ballpark for the Whitecaps, love to hear what it was like. Let's go to Ken. You're on 97.1. Hello, Ken.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Great show. Yep. I would say the closest analogy, and I've actually seen this personally, is when big act comedians are getting ready for a big tour, they'll go yep. to small comedy clubs like the Laugh Factory or, well, Caroline's is gone now in New York, and they'll practice before they go on a stadium tour. So,
you know, you're 100% right. I've only been to a couple comedy shows in my life, and one of them was the first time I went out to L.A. to see my friend out there. We went to a comedy show, and all these unknown comics are up there, and they say, hey, we got a treat for you. George Wallace has decided to stop by.
Steve Martin's walking out or something crazy like that. Yeah, I've done that.
This is kind of wild. Okay, I'm not a big George Wallace comedian fan, but okay, let's see. And it was cool, trying out material, and he letting everybody know, hey, I'm just trying stuff out. You know, we'll see some stuff hits.
And they all do it. Seinfeld did. I've heard Seinfeld on, like, Stern talk about it.
Yeah.
Going out and practicing his act. So it's really hard, though, for, like you said, Doug, for golf to try to go find a small little game somewhere to work on his craft. So, but that's a whole other thing, man. We got to talk about feeder for the NFL. I've called before, and it's really a joke that this multi-billion-dollar organization still relies on the NCAA to feed their system and develop their players. And now with NIL, I mean, back in the day, a quarterback might stay in a program 4 or 5 years sometimes. Now you get guys who've been in school 3 years, they've been in three different programs.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's some reforms likely on the way. It's a sport that, given the Sorsby case that just went down, that's a whole other can of worms. But I think there's reform coming. 248-539-9797. Bunch of Jameer Gibbs texts coming in regarding the Florio comments. And this is from an unnamed texter. Respectfully, screw Florio. He's rooting for turmoil so he can be a sanctimonious preacher.
Oh, my.
Look, we're big fans here of dissenting opinions. You don't need to attack the source, though.
He is a Vikings fan, though, isn't he?
Who?
Florio?
Is he?
Yeah, he's like a huge Vikings fan. Maybe he just wants the Lions to be in some like turmoil, like the text said.
Have you seen Florio as a guy that has got an agenda through the years?
Yes.
Oh, you do.
Okay, I've got an agenda, man.
But can you give any examples?
Every time he's on Sunday Night Football, I don't know. No, I mean, I just
I can't
give it a specific one right now. But people have called him out on certain things before, and I feel like
he gets hot takes.
Yes, exactly.
Times.
Yeah.
Well, that I might agree with.
And then might just be getting his name out there again.
Yeah, it's getting clicks and promoting his brand, and it's business.
Well, I guess that's hot takey. Yes, Lions can't get an O line good enough to have an effective Gibbs if they pay him that much. Lions can't get an O line good enough to have an effective Gibbs. Aren't pretty much outside of Borum, who may be a starter, isn't everybody kind of locked up for a while here? Between Sewell, Ratledge, Mahogany, Mays, Blake Miller. Yeah, I think that they've got the offensive line kind of locked up here.
They got a lot of backups there, but
Lions should not sign Jameer Gibbs. Run him into the ground and let him walk. Maybe franchise him next year.
Well, you wouldn't have to franchise
him. No, he's under contract next year. He'd be franchised.
Just pick up the fifth year, yeah.
Holding out after year three as a first-round pick is kind of unprecedented, but we still have to pay Gibbs. Those who say use the fifth option and then two franchise tags don't understand how the NFL works.
Well, you can pick up the fifth-year option and you can franchise them for a year. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the second-year franchise, that's where it gets pricey, and you're thinking, well, maybe we should have just saved cost and we should have signed them to an extension back when we could have.
All right, coming up next, ESPN put together a bunch of trade proposals from teams to get Scoobal. One of them was considered the best of the bunch. We'll get to those today at 12:02 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.